handle the truth.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.
To the Rural Show with Tim and Rick Schmidt. Today is Saturday, the 13th day of November in the year of our Lord, 2021. Hope everybody's having a great day today. Lori is on the line. Rick will be with us very shortly. I talked to him earlier. He is on. Are you on, Rick? Guess not. I'm getting a lot of feedback from some more, Sam.
You're also cutting in and out.
Okay, well.
Can't be my line.
All right, Rick is with us. Lori, live radio, we're always going to have problems no matter what. Some days are better than others. But anyway, folks. A couple of things I wanted to go over. I'm sure most of all of our audience has heard that RBN will continue after the unfortunate demise of my friend John Stapmiller. There is a board of directors appointed. I know a couple of them. I don't know the entire list. Positive changes in RBN. So... anyway, one of the things I wanted to mention today was inflation. Folks, I read recently, past couple of days, that if we use the 1980s method, early 80s method, of calculating inflation instead of the current calculation method, we'd be looking at 16% for the year. That's pretty steep. Now, the official government percentage right now is just under 6%. Of course, in their consumer price index, they do look at food, but the items they look at change regularly. In fact, is since 1980, the way inflation is calculated has changed 29 times to make it look like there's less inflation than there really is. There's a lot of things not considered in the CPI. So the dollar is dropping. The Fed says at 1% of its value per month. And whether it was dropping or not, we still got massive inflation. Folks, I'm not a financial advisor, and I'm not telling you what to do. But if you got cash sitting in a bank account, it is losing value. They're stealing the value from you. If I was you, and this is what Lori and I have done, we've gotten out of cash. We're investing in things we need, tools, building materials, food, you know, water filtration system, stuff like that. So, you know, that's where we're at. Before we do much else, I want to mention our sponsors, which, folks, I'm sorry, I'm getting distracted. My mind's running too fast. Okay, Extendivite is our first and longtime sponsor. The product does work. Rick, Lori, and I all take it. If you want to feel better, for basically $30 a month, go to ruralsurvival.life, click on that banner, and get yourself some of this stuff. Secondly, Water Revolution. My friend Kirk Finney and his wife Kathy run this company. We have three of their products, a whole house water filter system, a what's called a Helix Energizer. And if I understand things correctly, it actually changes the molecular structure of the water. We, Lori and I both, can actually feel the difference in the water. And we also have the emergency water filter thing that looks like a Berkey, but it's much, much better designed. It doesn't have the plastic spout. It has a stainless steel spout. Now, folks, you can go a couple of 3 weeks without food, but you ain't going but 3 to 4 days max without water. I would sincerely recommend that you at least get one of these emergency water filters. It's a countertop stainless steel unit, has filters in it, filters out all the bad stuff. If you're smart, before you put water in the top part, I'd cycle it through a couple of coffee filters a couple of times to get all the crud out of it, and it'll of the water, no matter where you get it from, a pond, a creek, a mud puddle, and then pour it in this thing and let it do its job, and you will have crystal clear drinking water, plain and simple. Well, we're still waiting for Rick. I want to hit a couple of things on the news real quick. I just got to switch over to that page.
We're not actually waiting for Rick, though.
Oh, I didn't get a message saying you were on the line. I am glad you're here, buddy.
Maybe Sam is multitasking today. No, go right ahead. Finish up. Do what you're doing.
Oh, okay. Well, doggone it. There we go. Now, folks, one of the things I wanted to talk about was what's going on in Australia. There are thousands, and by the pictures, I would say multiple thousands of people protesting against the province of Victoria's COVID powers. To summarize, and I'm not reading this, basically there's a law that they're trying to get through Parliament, that gives the premier, which would be equivalent to our state governors, the power to impose emergency powers anytime and for as long as he wants to. Now, the people in Victoria, and I'm looking at a picture of a huge demonstration in Melbourne. I hope I'm getting all this right. I think it said Melbourne. These people do not want this. They don't want the vaccine. So there is resistance, and I'm very, very glad there is. And the other thing, where is it? Oh, okay. Biden's mandate about companies over 100 people, getting the vaccine, according to a three-member panel of the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans, affirmed its reading despite the Biden administration's position that halting implementation of the vaccine mandate could lead to dozens or even hundreds of deaths. November 6th, the 5th Circuit Court granted a temporary stay on enforcement of the federal mandate. One day after the rule was announced, in its reaffirmation Friday, the court said the mandate exposes petitioners to severe financial risk and threatens to decimate their workforces and business prospects. Basically, what they're saying, folks, is this mandate that our Let's Go Brandon president is unconstitutional. But we knew it was to start with. Rick and Lori, your opinion on this?
Lori, go ahead.
Well, I agree with the courts. It's unconstitutional, and I don't think people should be forced to take these shots, because we're finding out, like the airlines, they made it mandatory for their pilots and their stewardess to have these shots, and then the insurance companies come out and say, well, if they've had the vaccines, they won't insure them, and they're not allowed to fly. So now all those pilots that and stewardess that were mandated to have them can't fly.
Right.
You're finding it the same problem in other areas of employment, you know, where insurance companies won't insure your employees if they've had the shots. So,
but they'll fire you if you don't.
Right. Some will fire
right.
you. Some had said, hey, like in hospitals, it's mandatory. You have to have them. So what did they do? They walked off, and they found out that there's just too much shortage in the hospital of staff to take care of those that are sick. So they had no choice but to drop the mandate and let them come back to work. I mean, you know. So, like I said, I agree with the courts. It's our bodies. It's our rights to say whether we want that germ inside of us or not. And me personally, not having it. Go ahead, Rick.
Well, actually, it doesn't have any germ in it, Lori. It's an RNA therapy. And they say it won't change your DNA, but by golly, it sure is doing it. So, and then this 5 to 11-year-olds getting vaccinated. They already had one big screw-up. I forgot what state it was in, but it was a pharmacy that I didn't recognize the name of. Gave 100-plus children adult doses. And now, for the pediatric doses, they're adding a heart attack drug as a, quote, buffer, so these kids don't immediately die of heart attacks after getting the injections. This thing is ridiculous. The children have very, very small chance of getting infected. Like, we're talking 1 in a million type thing. Maybe 2 in a million. I don't remember the exact number. But yet they're putting these children's lives at risk. And we'll never know the new number, the real number. But I did read on an FDA website this morning that there are warnings with this vaccine for pericarditis and basically the heart swelling up. I've had this. It's not fun. It hurts. I'm on medication for it now. So, folks, be careful. Rick, go ahead. I didn't mean to talk so long, buddy.
That's all right. Well, I mean, we've been over this territory before. I have nothing new to add to it. It's a...
I don't either, really.
It's another government overreach. They have no legal authority to do what they're doing, but it's not stopping them. They're basically running a giant psychological operation trying to scare you into line, using every method that they can dream up, whether it's putting you up against your employer or whatever it is. There's really no reason to get into it again. Personally,
no.
I think we have, if you believe anything Cliff High says, and, I don't know what to tell you about Cliff High, but he has some very, very galvanized opinions regarding this situation, and he thinks, beginning of the year or so, we should start seeing a lot of people disappearing. And he did make an interesting point. He said if people suddenly started appearing all over the place, you'd notice it. But if people just start disappearing, it's going to be harder to see. He'd be right about that.
Right.
And you've got the according to... He claims hospital records and other public records. He counts in the area of 300,000 people the vaccines have already killed. And as we said before, I think with the swine flu thing, the swine flu vaccine killed 25 people, and they stopped it immediately. But now they've killed 1,000 times that, and they don't intend to stop, and they're now they want to vax the kids. And anyway, you guys, I think you all know what to do. There's no point in discussing a corrupt government. I mean, you all know what it is. So so I think you better just do what you think is best. But if you're thinking about getting the vax, if I were you, I'd just wait 3 or 6 months and see what happens. I told you about that study out of India where the people were taking a couple of micro doses of ivermectin 3 days apart and then one dose every month, and they had an 83% reduction in positives. Okay, use your brain. go ahead and do that. And then while you're doing that, you can, if you really, I don't know why you'd even be worried about a vaccine, because it's not a vaccine, but if you're worried about that, just take the ivermectin, wait and watch and see how many of your friends coil up and die, and then make your decision yet again. And after you're missing a whole bunch of buddies, and relatives, then maybe your mind will change. So, you know, do the smart thing. The Duramectin, which is 1.87%, I think I might have said this the last show, I apologize, is...
No, this is important. It bears repeating, Rick.
Yeah, it's a 6-gram tube. Enough for a 1,250-pound horse. And these would be doses that would be doses for, if you have COVID, the prophylactic dose is so much smaller. It is like 6 micrograms or something like that. I forgot. But it's a little tiny dose. I've been taking the stuff all week. The Duramectin actually has no flavor discernible, except green apple, as I think I told you. I have no problems with it at all.
Right.
I don't mind it. I don't mind the so-called taste. I mean, to me, it just tastes like a little bit of an apple skin. So I don't care. Of course, I have no worms either, so that's cool. I have no spots, no hookworms, no pinworms, no tapeworms. I'm good. And I have no COVID either.
Right.
So, changing subjects here. I came across an absolutely fascinating study, and I'm going to let me tell you why I'm going to bring this up, because we're at that time of the year, and I believe I might have mentioned this. Thanksgiving dinner, I'm always responsible for pie. That's my job. I am a good pie maker, and everybody waits. That's just assumed I'll bring pie. So I've been working on my recipes, trying to get it up to code, and I'm doing fine. I tried some Golden Delicious. They were just too sweet. It didn't really have that pop that it should have, even with the addition of lemon juice. Anyway, let me skip forward. We'll talk about the pies in a minute. I'm also going to talk about this vegetable oil study, which compares vegetable oils to traditional cooking methods like lard and beef tallow. Stand down, Tom. This is not a health clinic. I'm going to discuss this, because this study, while it is about a 30-minute video, it is from a group called What I've Learned, and the name of the video is the $100 billion industry making your food toxic. And what it's discussing is what vegetable oil and Crisco are as compared to and those are polyunsaturated fats, as compared to the monounsaturated, like coconut oil, probably avocado oil, and olive oil, monounsaturates, and as compared to, say, lard, we'll just say lard. I'm going to kind of read some of this because there's a lot here. So if it sounds a little sing-songy, I apologize, but I don't want to miss too much of this. So back around 1900, obviously the traditional way to cook things where you needed some form of lubricant, you would almost certainly be using lard or tallow.
Right.
The incidence then of heart disease was considered to be a rare condition. Now, I don't want to get off onto this tangent. It wasn't mentioned in the study. However, I know that in 1900, about 90% of the population was involved in some sort of agrarian activity. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean they were all professional farmers. They were just involved in agriculture in one way or another, which implies a number of things. It implies they're active, they're outside, they're active, they're farming or gardening or something, now compared to 10%. So what we have here is heart disease, the incidence of heart disease since 1900 has gone exponential, as has the consumption, the production and consumption of vegetable oil. If we go back to just 2019, there was an engineer who decided that what he was going to do was to examine, most of these vegetable oils are being made out of what you would consider to be former waste product, but he decided to see how much sawdust he could add to Rice Krispie treats, and before he could get caught. He got up to 15% before people realized that there was sawdust in the Rice Krispie treats. That was probably before. That was when when lumber was cheaper than. And rice. Now it wouldn't be cost effective to put any wood in your food because it costs more than rice. It costs more than rice, so we don't want to do that.
Right.
So, but the saturated fats would include tallow, lard, and butter. Okay. So, in the vegetable oils, of course, we have all the ones you know. Just they call it vegetable oil, which would be maybe a mixture of things. Corn oil, canola oil, cottonseed oil, sunflower oil. So if you look, if you go back to from 1960 to...
Hey, Rick.
Yes,
yeah, hold that thought, hon. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a break. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Show here on RBN. Okay. All right, Rick, yes. Go ahead, huh?
Yeah, we were going to talk about 1962, 1921, the incidence of things, of certain sorts of diseases. If you look at a chart, If you make a line graph, a chart, which tracks diseases like heart disease and dementia, Parkinson's, IBS, and all sorts of things, you will find that it's not scientifically linked, but it correlates exactly with the consumption of vegetable oils. This would be the polyunsaturated vegetable oils, and I'll get into that more in a minute. I'm not going to talk about all of the minutiae that is in this report. I'm going to just try to hit the highlights so that you get the general drift of the situation. In 1902, there were 36 million gallons of corn oil made and sold. In 1911, Procter & Gamble came up with a brand new product and a marketing campaign to go with it. They were wondering what to do with all the leftover cotton seeds from the manufacture of cotton for the clothing. And they decided that what they do is smash them up, squeeze them, and get the oil out. And lo and behold, Crisco was born. So Crisco is made out of a waste product, formerly thrown away, And so, but the good news is it looks just like lard. And everybody was used to working with lard. And when they came up with a so-called healthier alternative, which was Crisco, everybody bought the BS. So Procter & Gamble back in like World War One came up with this brilliant marketing campaign telling you that it was cheaper than lard and healthier for you, and it was not any of those things. And in 1912, they sold 2.6 million pounds of Crisco. There is a doctor named James Herrick who, in 1912 also, wrote the first that can be found medical journal report on what was a heart attack. Heart disease in the early 1900s was a very rare condition. And you could say, well, how can that be? These people ate lard. Yeah, well, they did. And that's why they weren't having heart attacks right and left like they are now. By 1960, right, they were selling 60 million pounds a year of Crisco. By 1945, soybean oil was at 1.3 billion pounds and only 1 billion pounds of Crisco. So by the end of World War II, soybean oil overtook Crisco. And people thought they were eating better, of course, because they believed all the advertising. Eisenhower had a heart attack in 55, and everybody started wondering what the hell was going on. So Crisco, Procter & Gamble, too good to be true. They funded Crisco, Procter & Gamble, Crisco funded the American Heart Association, which up to that point was unheard of and not well funded. They come up with the answer to all your problems. They decided to replace saturated fats with polyunsaturated fat. This is
wonderful.
I know, yeah. Don't worry, your government would never lie to you. The problem with government is they're basically bought off by industry, and so the government will say anything they're paid to say, just like a lawyer, and we all love lawyers. Basically, polyunsaturated fats back before 1900 were 0% of your daily caloric intake. Now, believe it or not, vegetable oil accounts for about 32%, let's say a third, of your daily calories. 720 calories a day come from vegetable oil. Well, you say, well, what's wrong with that? Oh, I'm going to tell you what's wrong with that. Right now, it's $100 billion a year industry, but there are people out there who are casting a jaundiced eye at the vegetable oil folks, and they're in avoiding these things. They are clearing up chronic conditions like IBS and arthritis, by just simply avoiding vegetable oil. There was a molecular biologist named Brad Marshall who went on a croissant diet, which I guess was a sort of a joke, but he was eating croissants, but at the same time not eating any vegetable oil, and was able to lose stubborn belly fat in doing so. At this point, the only thing I'll use vegetable oil for is gardening. I know.
Well, yeah.
How could you use it in gardening? Well, when you make up a spray, whether it's an antifungal like copper, or you're going to spray weed killer or anything like this, anything that's going to be a foliar spray, even if it's spray and grow, you add a little bit of oil and a little bit of laundry detergent and makes it stick like mad to the leaves. And so it works real well for that. But I highly suggest you don't put it in your mouth. The consumption, if you look at the chart of the consumption of vegetable oil, it correlates directly with things like diabetes and obesity, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, IBS, fatigue, chronic fatigue syndrome. And here's what goes on with these things. Okay, so this is the science behind it, is that polyunsaturated fats, polyunsaturates, oxidize, and here's the problem, they oxidize at about 40 times the rate of a monounsaturated like olive oil. If you've ever noticed, decent quality extra virgin olive oil will come in a dark bottle, and that's to keep the light yes. out. It does have about 10% polyunsaturates in it, which they're controlling the oxidation thereof with the dark bottle, and they tell you to keep it in a dark place. Okay, so when these polyunsaturates have what's called omega-6s, okay, omega-6s oxidize right. very, very quickly, and they accumulate in the human body. They accumulate in your body and continue to oxidize, which damages all kinds of things. It damages your gut. It damages your mitochondria. It damages certain organs. It is also suspected to damage your pancreas, which is why it's linked to things like diabetes. So what we have here is that a case study of isolated peoples, like let's say people on an island eating an ancestral diet. Okay, their omega-6, the omega-6 content in their blood in their is only in their body is 3.8%, and whereas everybody else in the world is more like 10 to 20%, which is like that's really, really, really super bad. So what they did was this is called the Minnesota study, done by a guy named Ivan France, who basically sat on the results forever, and I don't know why. Maybe he was paid to do so. I don't really know. But it was a well-funded scientific study, a national scientific study, and they had two groups of people that living in facilities, and this was like a group of a couple thousand people. Half of them were eating food. They all ate the same food, like a cafeteria style. So half the food was cooked with vegetable oil, the other half where they were using saturated fats like lard or tallow. What they found out after, I think this went on for 8 years. No, that was the Veterans Administration. This went on for 5 years. What they found out was that the cholesterol in the people who were eating vegetable oil went up, while the people using lard and tallow, their cholesterol went down. Okay, so let me skip forward to the Veterans Administration right now. So the LA Veterans Administration did a very similar study, and what they found out was that they found the same thing. Even though there were twice as many heavy smokers in the lard group as there were in the vegetable oil group, that the people in the vegetable oil group were dying at a faster rate than the people eating saturated fat. It was all because of the oxidation. And that was an 8-year study, which is, that's a pretty decent study. Another problem that I want to bring up here with vegetable oil is this, and I'm not going to drag this on too much longer, but there is something called acetohydrides, I think that's what it's called, which are the toxic. It's the toxic part of what happens with oils, especially when they're oxidizing, and especially when they're introduced into heat. And so this is exactly the chemical that's in your body when you're having a hangover. So what happens when they make vegetable oil is the extraction process involves a lot of high heat. So what they're doing is, in order to extract this stuff, they're raising the temperatures twice to between 190 and 210 degrees Fahrenheit. And at that point, the oils basically go rancid. They are then acid washed and bleached. And then at that point, apparently, if the information that I have is, now they smell so damn bad that you wouldn't need them. So they go through a deodorizing process where they take it up to 500 degrees Fahrenheit. So basically, when you get a vegetable oil, it's already rancid, and you can't smell it because they deodorized it. So you're basically eating something that is so insanely unhealthy for you, but you don't know it because they de-stunk it. Okay. So there are things like walnut oil, which I don't think anybody's using. I hope nobody's using that. Now, it goes rancid in 8 days on the shelf. Most of these oils go rancid just in storage alone, but they go absolutely wacky when you fry with them. When you fry with these things, like frying in vegetable oil, these acetaldehydes are increased by 1 to 200%. So, you know, frying in vegetable oil is, you're being told that it's a healthy alternative, but it couldn't be worse. What this stuff actually does is your body has mitochondria all over it, which produces something called ATP. ATP is responsible for creating the energy. You produce almost your body weight in this stuff every single day, except the problem with these rancid oils is they damage your mitochondria. And when they damage your mitochondria, you're no longer able to produce normal amounts of ATP, which leads to just all kinds of problems like obesity and diabetes, Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, just all kinds of stuff like that. So they put rats on a vegetable oil diet for 6 weeks, and they died in six weeks of heart failure. So what's the bottom line here? I'm gonna put a bow on this before the top of the hour. Right now, am I suggesting you eat lard? Yes, maybe not, maybe. Am I suggesting you don't eat vegetable oil? Absolutely, I'm suggesting you don't eat it. I'm not a registered dietitian, but I have seen study after study on what this stuff does and what this stuff is. And basically, the government is taking payoffs from the billion-dollar food industries to tell you whatever it is that they want you told. So here's the deal. So the reason I'm bringing this up now is for a couple of reasons. First of all, for your food preps, if we go to page 82 and page 90 of the Wesley Rawls book, How to Survive the End of the World as We Know It, not the end of the world, the end of the world as you know it, what we find is there is a section in there called the deep larder, which is about food storage. Item number 6, I recommend storing primarily olive oil and canned butter and peanut butter. Those are your fats. Okay. Now, if you go to page 90, it is called A Closer Look at Fats. And what it'll tell you is this, that an often overlooked subject is the necessity of fats and oils in your diet. You can store things like beans and rice, and that's all wonderful. But beans and rice, when eaten together, have all the essential amino acids. That's all true. Although you do wind up with a protein shortage, which can be augmented with protein powder. However, what a lot of preppers never think about is fats and oils, and that should be part of what you're storing. I've been using lard that I have been storing, I think, since 2012, and it's just fine. And the reason that I'm going to bring this up right now, and I brought this up before as a teaser, is I'm responsible for pie, and I don't know if I said this on the show recently. Tim says I did not, but I have been experimenting with my pie recipe, trying to get it up to snuff, and didn't have any Crisco, so I used lard instead. That was absolutely the best pie crust I ever made. I augment the salt by at least 50%, and the pie crust is as good as the pie. And the flakiness and the mild saltiness of the flaky crust completely complements the apple filling in my apple pie. And that is, to me, the only way to make a pie crust is the way your grandma used to make it. That's what you should probably be doing. Also, in addition to that, I told you folks a week or so ago, that maybe 2 weeks ago, that I had pulled the last 5 eggplants off of the plants. They can't survive in this sort of weather anyway, so you get them out of there. And what to do with them? Well, I've already got enough blanched and frozen to do something that I've been seeing repeatedly on the internet, which is called either melanzane, or they'll call it eggplant in olive oil, stored in olive oil, or escabeche, which is fascinating in itself. There is an Italian fellow, and this is kind of cool, I followed his recipe, and I'll have to spell his website if I, geez, I would hope I wrote it down. I'll find it. It's some Italian word I can't even begin to pronounce. It looks like it could be the heart of chocolate or something in Italian. But so here's what happens with the eggplant and olive oil. And the reason I was kind of attracted to this recipe was, you know, you're storing eggplant in olive oil. So it brings to mind a couple of things. It solves a storage problem. It's storage without refrigeration. It also is, you know, putting it in extra virgin olive oil. Eggplant and extra virgin olive oil is also going to be relatively healthy. And it would be eaten then as basically an hors d'oeuvre, tapenade, if you will, on, say, sourdough or toast points or something like that. So what you do is you cut your eggplant, peel it and cut it into, although not everybody peels it completely, some people leave a little skin on there for decoration. Cut it into strips like shoestring potatoes, so quarter inch by quarter inch. And what you're going to do is you're going to put it in a colander with some salt on it. I use kosher salt, and you're going to sweat that. So put a colander under it, and I let that sweat overnight, and then you're going to be amazed at how much water comes out of this stuff. Then you're going to take that and rinse it in a bowl of vinegar water. So it would be two parts water, one part vinegar. Put that stuff in there. Squeeze it like you're doing the laundry, kind of get some of the salt back out of it. And then you're going to, I rolled it up in a clean dish towel and put a lot of weight on it to squeeze as much water out. You'd be amazed how spongy this stuff is. To squeeze as much of the water out of it as possible. And then you're going to pack it into jars and what you do is you kind of layer this stuff in there. Layer it in. You're going to layer in your herbs. And you're going to layer in some bell peppers, some garlic, oregano, celery, bay leaves, and whatever other spice you might really like to see. The oregano is apparently kind of the star of the show here. But they're going to ask you to put in chili peppers. Tim, you still there?
Yeah.
Good. What I have found is this. When you're being asked in a recipe to add chili peppers, the problem with it is that you don't know the Scoville units in these peppers. You have no idea what you're about to do. Even peppers off the same plant vary wildly in heat. So what I did, and this worked out great, is I added a half a teaspoon of Louisiana hot sauce in there and stirred into the oil. And what I noticed was that when you eat this stuff, about after you swallowed it, then you can feel a little bit of the heat. So I added another half a teaspoon because I wanted it just a little bit spicier. So when you get something like Louisiana hot sauce, they know how many Scoville units are in that, and so do you. So you don't have to take and ruin your escabeche by making it so hot nobody can eat it.
Okay, hey, Rick, hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a break. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Welcome back to the Rural Survival Show here on RBN. Okay, Rick, go ahead, hon.
Yeah. So the name of this guy, now I found it here during the break. And the reason that I'm bringing this guy up is because the same reason that I liked his escabeche recipe was I'm attracted to kind of the pre 1900. He's kind of doing a prepper thing, but he's not. He speaks English, okay, not great. He doesn't know what a peeler is. He says, I'm going to remove the skin with this thing. It's kind of funny. But if you look up his website, it's like this. C-O-C-U-O-R-E-B-I, I know you already lost, C-I-O-C-C-O-L-A-T-O. I'm going to guess C-U-O-R-E is heart, but I don't know if it is. C-O-E-U-R is here. This area was founded by the Spanish and the French. We have a lot of places around here called places like Crevecoeur, which would be Broken Heart, Sacré-Cœur, Sacred Heart, and we've got a lot of that. It looks like part of the chocolate, but I never see him dealing with it. This guy basically spends his time showing you how to do things like sausage making. We would call that charcuterie, prosciutto, sourdough bread, wine, beer, different things like this eggplant tapenade. But the reason that I kind of was attracted to it, as I said, was the prepper aspect. You don't really require refrigeration to store your eggplant. You can store it another way. But here's the deal. When I first started this project, I already had enough eggplants stored away. So I thought, well, what the heck? Let's just try this. And here's the deal. My wife came home from work yesterday, and I had it out, and we had some sourdough bread. And she took one bite, and she looked at me, and she said, this stuff is really good. And I must admit, I had no hopes for this recipe, really. It is amazing. It is a ton of fun. It's good. It's good for you. It is a wonderful snack and drug. You just used it for dinner last night, and it was, I'd say, filling and satisfying. But the proof in the pudding really was that she kept sneaking back into the kitchen for just one more piece, which, you know, I take that as a blue ribbon. I would call that a success. Yeah. So for those of you who are thinking that, you know, you don't have to wait till next eggplant season to do it, this guy certainly, he went to the store and bought what they call aubergines, which is what they call eggplant in Europe, and he did it with those.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we have our top of the hour break. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Call-in number is 512-248-8252.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.